Hey everybody, this is Doug Benson, and you're listening to the Grow From Your Heart podcast, hosted by my buddy, Rasta Jeff.
Rasta Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
All right, here we go. Welcome back, podcast world. I'm your host, Rasta Jeff. This is episode 862 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. In today's episode, I'm going to give away free seeds. Hang out, we'll talk more about those free seeds later on in the podcast. I'm also proud to announce that I've teamed up with AC Infinity. That's right, acinfinity.com. Go get your AC Infinity controllers, your fans, your lights, everything you need for your grow is at acinfinity.com. When you shop with acinfinity.com, use coupon code IREE to save 15% off your entire purchase. That's right. Go get a brand new light. Go get a new grow tent. Go get the whole setup at acinfinity.com and use coupon code IREE to save 15% on your entire order. All right, where do we go from there? In a previous episode and a couple of previous episodes, we've been talking about things that we can use that are not necessarily designed for our grows, but we can use them to benefit our grow, make our grow life better, easier, more enjoyable. I've been getting great submissions. My two most recent favorite submissions have came in, things that we missed. One of them was a pressure washer. That's right, a pressure washer. Why not use a pressure washer to clean your reservoirs, your trays, just about anything you can get wet, all that plastic stuff that you buy, clean it with a pressure washer. That'll get it nice and clean. There you go. A pressure washer is a great suggestion. Also, be very careful with that pressure washer. Do not mistake that thing. It will really pressure wash the shit out of you as well. That's some powerful shit. If it's cleaning that grime off, imagine what it will do to your ankle, your toe. It will get you, so be careful. Respect it. Put some respect on its name. Another device that we could use in the grow that we overlooked that I actually often use is a scrubber that attaches to a drill. That's right. It just looks like a bathroom scrubber or a toilet scrubber brush, but it goes right into my drill, and I can clean trays, I can clean reservoirs, mainly clean the cloner. There's an easy cloner sitting right there that needs to be cleaned. That easy cloner will get cleaned with that drill. Just drill scrub it real hard. Put some Fizan 20 on that bitch and just scrub it down and then rinse it real nice. But that drill attachment with the scrubby on it, real nice device, will really speed up your cleaning process. So you guys keep sending in those recommendations, those suggestions of items, devices, tools, devices, purchases, products that we can use in the grow room that were not necessarily designed for the grow room, but will make our grow room experience more enjoyable. All right, before we get too far, let me remind you about the holiday sale at iredirect.com. That's right, iredirect.com. There's a sale happening. Make sure you go check the holiday pricing and the holiday inventory. Go grab those holiday packs before the end of the year at iredirect.com. Did I say it enough times to get it in your head? iredirect.com. All right, that's all the advertising we've got for the start of the show. Let's work our way into the question and answer portion of today's podcast. Of course, I have a website. That website is iregenetics.com. At the top of that website, there's a row of tabs. One of those tabs does say Grow Help or Grow Questions. If you click on that tab and you send me a good grow question, maybe I'll read your question here on the podcast. If I do read your question here on the show, that means you win a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. Today's first question came from my new friend Guymondo. Guymondo, thank you for the great question. Make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds. The question goes a little bit like this. It says, what do you think of cold start dabs? I am not a huge fan of cold start dabs. I take big, gigantic dabs, and if I were to cold start them, I would just leave a big, sticky, puddly mess. I prefer a real hot, real big dab that makes you choke, makes your eyes red, makes your voice and throat all gooey, makes you have to clear your throat a bunch of times in a podcast. Almost makes you want to go lay on the floor for a few minutes. I got a tile kitchen floor here, sometimes, or maybe even the bathroom. You ever been lit up and you just go lay in the bathtub because it's nice and cool and it feels good? I like the dabs that make you think about doing that. You're like, I need to go lay in the bathtub with no water and just feel the cool. Maybe you find yourself just laying in the bathtub in there with a big bag of chips, just scrolling on your phone. It's been like 40 minutes. You don't know what happened. Those are the kind of dabs I like to take. I cannot achieve that with a cold start dab. It just doesn't get me there. I take a pretty monstrous dab. I like a terp slurper or a blender. I like a nice, pretty decent rig. A decent temperature. I'm not even going to tell you my temperature. Don't try this at home. But no, a cold start dab is not for me. But if you're doing cold start dabs and it works for you, man, do that. A lot of my friends do cold starts. It's great to watch. It's great to see. They enjoy it. It is just not for me. And that's one of the beautiful things about growing, smoking, and consuming ganja. You could do it however you enjoy doing it. And I can't judge you for it. If you want to hit a 12-foot bong, if you want to smoke out of a coconut, if you want to carve out an apple, or if you want to smoke out of a $3,000 dab rig, do your thing, pimpin'. I encourage all of the above as long as you are enjoying it to your fullest. So I got no judgment on your cold starts, except they're not for me. They're great for other people. Do that shit. There is more to this. I'm rambly. Obviously, I took some big, fat, non-cold start dabs. There's more, though. It goes on. It says, also, I would like to do a shout-out to the Packy Gold freebie I got from you with my order. Packy Gold grows awesomely, and it is my favorite plant from the order. That's pretty awesome that the freebie ended up being your favorite plant from the order. I like that. It says, I'm just at the end of veg, so the growth so far is all I can comment about. Okay, that makes sense. Thank you, my friend, from Gaimondo. Gaimondo, that was a good comment, a good question. I'm not into the cold start dabs, but good shout out for the Packy Gold. Ladies and gentlemen, he said the freebies. If you order over $30 at iredirect.com, your order will come with a free 2-pack of Packy Gold feminized seeds. Gaimondo, make sure you check your inbox. You've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds. All right, let's keep this episode going while I've still got some voice left. Those dabs seem to be killing my throat. This question also came from the Grow Help tab. This one did not leave a fun name. They left their whole name. I'm not going to call you by your full name. This one came from my new friend, Robert. Robert, thank you for the great question. The question goes a little bit like this. It says, I've listened to you for many years. Well, thank you, bro. It says, what I haven't heard and I would like to hear is what breeding projects have failed to make it to release and why? It's a really good, really humbling question. And then I realized, like, I treat my podcast like I treat my social media. I only post my victories on social media. I don't really post my fails. Nobody does. We don't go post our bullshit. Some people do. I see a lot of crying ass people. But most of us don't post our failures, our shortcomings on social media. We post the victories. We post the picture of the new car, the successful garden, the new shoes, the wins. We don't ever post the losses on social media. And I guess I kind of do that here as well. So let me be humbled. Let me give you some full disclosure. There have been breeding projects that I have crossed and have been complete trash. Most of the time, I'll take a male plant and or a reversal plant, however you want to go about the story, and I'll pollinate multiple females. That way, we've got more opportunity to see what that pollen donor is doing across the board. We get to see more opportunity for the progeny to see what they're going to show us. It's just something I like to do as a breeder. So then it gives me more opportunity to have success. It also gives me more opportunity to have a failure. So only one time has this happened. I used a pollen donor. It was a female plant. It was a lemon skunk kush plant that when I smoked the flower from a dispensary, the flower was amazing. I'm not even going to give him a shout out because the owner of that dispensary is a dick. I hope you hear this. So I bought this clone of a lemon skunk kush and so I bought the flowers from the dispensary and smoked them. And I was like, that shit's fire. And I went back to get more. And they're like, we have a clone of it. So I bought the clone. I grew the clone equally, if not better quality than what the dispensary was selling me. So I've got the clone of this lemon skunk kush. Everybody in the crew loves it. I was allegedly black marketing flowers to all the crew here. And everybody was loving it. They're like, bro, I like smoking that. I love smoking that. And I've been dipping my toes into breeding projects. I've done some pollinations at this point. Made some crosses that we've smoked in the house and in the crew, and they were great. People enjoyed it. So I've got this lemon skunk kush, and I'm like, man, I want to breed with this. This thing's fucking fire. So I reversed it, and I made S1s with it, and then I pollinated. I don't even remember at this point. There's a G13 in there. There's a bunch of older stuff that I used to have way back in the day. There's blueberry in there, a bunch of different shit. I'd have to look back and like scroll through photos or something and find out exactly what it was. Honestly, don't remember. But I remember it was a lemon skunk kush pollen donor to like, I usually do 9 females in a room. So it was probably 9 different girls in a 5x5. I hit them with pollen. I flowered out all those plants. I made the seeds. I collected the seeds. I grew out different batches of those seeds, like probably 10 of each. Back in the day, that's just how we used to do it, do bigger numbers back in the day. Can't do it now. But I ran out a bunch of those, and then I was excited about it. They smelled so good. They looked so beautiful. I called all the good homies over, Pops, Kevin, Mike, probably Crazy Tony at the time. Who else used to come over? It doesn't matter, bro. I digress is what my grandma would say. All the crew came over. We gathered in the basement, put on that 70s show or a Pink Floyd video or whatever the boys used to want to watch. We'd just watch cool shit all day. Probably a subcool video at that point in time. And then we all fucking rolled up joints and packed up bowls, and we all smoked all this lemon skunk kush crosses together. Different variations, different outcrosses. And after a little while, I noticed it. I was looking around the room. I was like, nobody acts, looks, or seems high in any sort of way. And I was like, guys, what do you think about it? And everyone's like, bro, I didn't want to say anything. I'm not fucking high at all. And I was like, well, this is weird. Like, nobody is high from any of this weed. So we kept smoking. And like, I was like, no, really, I don't feel high. So we went and smoked with other people, and I smoked it with other people, and I gave it to other people. And I was like, what'd you think? And like, that weed wasn't that good. That shit was kind of trash. So yeah, a full batch of breeding, a whole 5x5 tent worth, lemon skunk kush, 100% garbage. All those seeds got thrown away, probably fed to chickens. I think Jesse's chickens got to eat a lot of those fucking seeds. So yeah, that was one that failed. And then oftentimes, when I do the 9-plant, so let's just say hypothetically, I stick with the 9-plant idea. It's just a good way to do things. I put a male or a pollen donor in another tent, get that one going. I've got my females in a 5x5. There's 9 of them. That keeps me compliant with my numbers. And then I just pollinate that. Most of the time, 7 out of those 9 are quality enough to put out. There's always 2 of them that I'm like, eh, I don't know. Sometimes it's things that I didn't realize you guys would really love. Sometimes I hold back something because I'm like, oh, this plant takes fucking 140 days to flower. I'm not going to put that out. And then I show a couple people pictures of it, and they're like, bro, why don't you sell me seeds of that? I would fucking pay an arm and a leg. So I put them up on the website just to test the waters, and you guys buy the shit out of them. So sometimes it's stuff that I don't think you're going to like, but you really do. Sometimes it's stuff that I don't approve of. I should not have put out Night Nurse. Full disclosure, that was fucking 10 years ago. Those seeds are done. They're never going to be made again. Night Nurse did not live up to my standards. That's why it went out quickly and disappeared quickly. The few seeds that did go out, when I grew it, it came out good. My test grow, but my test numbers were very limited back then. I didn't have a big test team like I do now. So my testers looked really nice. I was happy with that. My buddy Doug was my patient at the time. He's the one that loved the Night Nurse the most. I kind of bred it for him. Him and Mike, and they approved. They loved it. I put out a bunch of seeds of it, and I just didn't, from the photos and the samples I got to smoke, I didn't approve. I wish I would not have put my name, my brand, my logo, my seal on that. So Night Nurse was kind of a fail, not up to my standards, in my opinion. That was a Grateful Dog breeding project. That came from the Grateful Dog pollen donor, Grateful Dog de Tora Bora. Almost everything else I did with the Grateful Dog was fucking awesome, except the Night Nurse. That one, they just didn't, however the genes, when you throw all the genes up in the air and let them land into the petri dish to make that fucking strain, those the shit didn't work out well. They didn't mix well. That was fucking like putting, I'm trying to think of 2 flavors that don't mix well together, and it's not working in my brain. It's like orange juice and toothpaste. They just fucking didn't mix up real well. So, yeah, that's 2 examples I can give you. 1 full failed breeding project. Every seed, thousands of seeds, probably 5,000 seeds got turned into chicken feed. And then 1, so if there were 9 plants, there's probably Night Nurse, there was probably Capleton, there was Kalonji, there was Bounty Killer. What else was in that room? Grateful Dog S1s. So that's 5 of them. Those were all successful. Night Nurse was made in the same batch, and that plant fucking sucked. So, yeah, that one shouldn't have been released. All right, I think I rambled enough about that. My dude Robert, make sure you check your inbox, because I am going to send you a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. That was a fun question. Thank you. I like that one. All right, we're going to keep the energy moving. I finally got the goober out of my throat. Let's stay focused. I got the energy right. This one came also from the Grow Help tab at iredirect.com. This one came from our new friend Ghost Pirate. Ahoy, matey. The question goes a little bit like this. It says, Rasta Jeff, first off, I want to start by saying that I appreciate you more than you know for your knowledge bombs on breeding, especially feminized breeding. Bro, thank you. That means a lot to me. Thank you for thinking that I'm dropping knowledge bombs. I just share what I think is helpful. I want to be helpful to you guys. And these sort of comments and stuff, these are I say it jokingly all the time. This is recharge for me. It really is. This is fertilizer, nutrients. This is bloom booster. You're feeding me with these types of comments. So thank you. I do appreciate that. You appreciate me. That dude. Sometimes that's all a dude wants to hear is I appreciate you. So thank you for that. I will stay focused. All the knowledge I drop about breeding, I just know what I know from experience. I might not have all the book terms, all the organic chemistry knowledge. I don't have all the schooling and stuff that a lot of people do that we see on the internet, but I've done it. And I think that counts for something, and I'm confident in what I'm doing, and I can see the results, what does, and I just admitted some shit doesn't work. So, man, thank you. I'm humbled, and I appreciate this comment already. It says, you've changed my game, and I'm now able to feel some confidence when breeding. That is fucking awesome, dude. I just said I'm confident, so now I'm glad you're as confident. Confidence goes a long way. Don't second-guess yourself. Don't double-step. Keep moving forward. Be confident. Now, there is a question in here. It says, I have a question. I have a partially pollinated plant. That's harder than it looks. You say that at home. I have a partially pollinated plant, which means I've only pollinated one branch. Now, my question pertains to this 18 and 6 light cycle after the pollination. I know where this is headed, and I've got some strong advice for you. It said, will this plant still be able to handle the 18 and 6 light cycle without throwing out intersex traits? Which that rings so many bells that I want to talk about. Or should I pollinate the whole plant? So with this listener, I think they're talking about is I recommend when pollinating plants, when you're strictly using this plant for pollen, after pollination, I turn that timer to 18 hours on and 6 hours off right after pollination until harvest time. That is my practice for a seeded crop. Now, if I were to do this to a Sensi crop, a crop with no seeds, I would only initiate that 18-6 for the last 2 weeks of flower. The reason is, if we leave these plants on 18-6 for too long, they will re-veg. They will begin to go back into a vegetative state. We do not want that to happen to the part of your plant that you are not going to pollinate. So I would not recommend putting that whole plant back into 18-6. If you just want some seeds, leave it on 12-12. Let it finish up like normal. Those seeds will be happy, healthy, and they'll be just fine. You just want some seeds for yourself to play with, it sounds like. You got one branch that's pollinated. Leave it on 12-12. At the end of that flowering cycle, whenever you would, about 2 weeks before, 10 days before you would normally harvest, then put that light back on 18-6, but not until then, because it will re-veg. The question you asked is, will it show intersex traits? That's a whole nother problem. That's a whole nother ballgame, whole nother issue, whole more bag of shit to deal with. If that plant shows intersex traits at that point, I would almost recommend not breeding with it, not doing the cross at all, because you've got intersex traits. I would abandon ship at that point. No need to make more intersex traits. I know there's going to be some controversy. That's okay. I accept and welcome that. Come with respect. Maybe I'll respond. I can't respond to every message, but so I would ditch it if you see those intersex traits. What I would definitely almost guarantee you're going to see, though, more than intersex traits, if you do this early, if you do the pollination and put it back on 18-6, the Sensi part that you want to smoke will look like shit. It will re-veg. It'll look terrible. So don't do that. I recommend continuing with the 18 and 6 light cycle. All right, my dude, did I even say, yeah, Ghost Pirate. I like the name. I said that. Make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. That's all I was going to do for the podcast, but I feel like I burnt right through those questions. I finally got some rhythm, got my voice fixed up. I'm going to reach over here. I just took the top question off the pile. This question has not been vetted, screened. I don't know what's going to come up. This could be blatant advertising. This could be some weird fucking Christmas list. But we're going to read it. We're going to see what happens. This one came from the Grow Help tab at iredirect.com. Since I'm giving you a bonus question here on the podcast, now is the time for you to click like and click subscribe. Did I say subscribe? Did I say that properly? I'm thinking three steps ahead of myself trying to produce, record, and host a podcast here. You say it all at once without messing up. Now's a good time to click like and subscribe. Also, leave some comments down below. Comments are free. Let me know what you think of the podcast, or fuck it, just argue in the comments for the algorithm. Keep it going. All right, this question says, hey, Jeff, Hey, Smitty, this question came from our new friend, Smitty. Thank you for the great question. Smitty, check your inbox. You got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. It says, longtime listener and customer. I appreciate that. Thank you. It says, my question is, if I'm breeding a regular plant, which means a non-feminized plant, I would assume, with a feminized plant, will the seeds be regular? My quick answer is, yes, those are regular seeds. The easiest way I can simplify that to where you're going to remember it is, what did you do to feminize them? Feminized sounds like, and I heard Mr. Soul say this, the word feminized sounds like we did something to make them female. We did. I treated the plant with silver so that those plants that come out, so that the pollen itself is feminized. I've made feminized pollen, so those seeds have been feminized. I know it. That's how you're going to remember it. Now, you're always going to think, oh, no, I didn't do anything to feminize them. They had to be feminized, and I didn't do that, so they're not feminized seeds. That's the best way to get that into your brain, in my teaching opinion. All right, so that was a quick answer there, quick question. I'm going to burn out another one. Ladies and gentlemen, also, since I'm going to burn out one more question, make sure you check patreon.com/growfromyourheart. Sign up to join the Irie Army at patreon.com. There are some great gifts at the higher tiers. Some tier levels just get a thank you. I'm going to say thank you, bro. That was cool of you. Some of the higher levels, I will send you coupon codes. I will send you some warnings, let you know when fresh stuff is going to drop. And then at the higher levels, free seeds. We can't talk too much about that here. Let's keep moving. Where is we? This question says, hey, Rasta Jeff. This one also came from the Grow Help tab, came from somebody who wants to be called Tokamak. Tokamak, thank you for the great question. Once again, check your inbox, coupon code, free seeds. You guys have heard the spiel. The question says, hey, Rasta Jeff. Hey, Tokamak. It says, you've described how to make fems to preserve a prized female on your podcast several times. Yes, I've been explaining fem seeds for quite a while, trying to clean up the misinformation that's out there. Then it goes on. It says, what are the ways to preserve or keep a male plant around for use in later projects? I appreciate the commitment to sharing. Bro, Tokamak, thank you for the great question. Once again, check your inbox. Now, the answer to this, how do I keep a male plant around for future projects? The same way we keep a mother plant around. I would call it a father plant, I guess, but it would live right in the mother room, right amongst the other ladies. Basically, I've got a light dedicated to, or I have a whole section dedicated to where I keep genetics. That's the mother area. I give it a 19-5 light cycle. I know that's a confusing light cycle. 18-6 is not enough. I like the 19-5 because some of the more sativa dominant, is that even the proper term anymore? Argue about that in the comments. Some of the more tropical narrow leaf varietals, they will flower if they get root bound and don't get enough light at the same time. So I'm just buying myself a little bit of time by going with that 19-5. They won't flower. Sometimes the Congo, the original Congo plant, it likes the 19-5 as a mother plant. It veges very well under 19-5. 18-6, it grows a little bit too quickly and it'll get root bound and then it will begin to flower before I want it to. That's a pain in the ass. So I keep the mother plants, the father plants on a 19-5 light cycle. I give them just a little bit of fan, a little bit of air circulation, and then I feed them just a basic veg nutrients. They get veg food. So a lot of times if I feed my veg area, some of that leftover becomes the base for my moms. I'll just add that to some water and maybe boost it up a little bit. But it's basically base nutrients, like whatever brand you're using, the base. Sometimes I'll throw a little liquid karma in there. And then a lot of times I just dose everything with recharge. The whole fucking, all the plants will get hit with recharge. So base nutrients, liquid karma, recharge, you don't need a whole lot. You could just buy real cheap veg nutrients for your mother plants. You need some NPK, just basic nitrogen, a little bit of phosphorus, basic potassium, give them some microbes. Make sure they're healthy, like pest and problem-free. Don't get any pathogens, no powdery mildew, no funguses in there. And don't get any bugs. Prevent all the bugs. People overlook the importance of how important the mom room is. That's where it all starts. So before you can have clones, veg, or flower, you have to have healthy mother plants. Keep them as healthy as you can. I apply pesticide rotation in my mother room once a week. If I see any issues, I hit it Monday and Thursday. If I think it's legit, I hit it Monday. I've been going kind of hard, so I'm going to go just every Monday for a little bit and make sure there's no problems. I'm about to start a breeding project, need it nice and clean. But keep them under 19-5 light. Feed them a vegetative fucking nutrients. Where was I going from there? I was talking about, I'm going to keep them pest-free. Spray them, apply a pesticide, fucking frequently, or however you want to do it, keep them pest free. But I recommend keep those moms pest free. Then pot size is very important. Of course, the bigger the pot you keep the plant in, the longer you can keep that plant around. But also, the larger the pot you keep it in, the more rapidly it will grow. So you're kind of cheating yourself. I don't know. It's a race. I like to keep my mother plants in a 3 or a 5 gallon pot. If I had more space, I would do 7 gallons, but I legit don't have more room for that. I'm working with what I've got. In a commercial facility, they go in a commercial environment, the moms are in fucking 7s, fucking 10, 15. They go in large pots because we need a lot of cuts and they're bigger. In a personal grow, which was probably what most of us are doing here, I use a 3 or a 5 gallon pot. Veg that bitch out. Veg it. Clean up the bottoms. Top it. Let it branch out a little bit. It'll make like a nice bushy shape, and those will be where all your cuts come from. That's how I keep a mother plant. Don't let it get root bound, because a lot of these plants, when they get root bound, they will start to flower. That's when you'll start to see problems. It'll look like it's overwatered, underwatered, got a pH issue. It's really just root bound. Wants a bigger pot. It's got nowhere to go. So I keep those plants around until they're usually 3, 4-ish feet tall. They're kind of bushy. Usually it's about 3 or 6 months before I have to take more clones and use one of those clones as my replacement for my mom plant. Then I just start fresh with all new moms, grow them out, get the clones as I need. So I know this is about keeping male plants, so this is where I'll jump to the male part of this. I do basically the same thing, except I'm more careful, because if that male plant does start to pre-flower or auto-flower on you because you didn't give it enough light, enough root space, it's going to be a real bitch to revert that plant back to the veg phase. Male plants, once they, just like you, bro, once the launch sequence is initiated, it wants to fucking go. So if you see that male plant starting to go in flower, it's going to go into flower. So try to prevent that with enough light. Don't get let it get root bound. Feed it properly. You can top the male plants, cut the tops out, make them bush. You can do all that just like a mother plant. I do everything the same, except I'm more careful to not stress that plant. Don't overwater. Don't underwater. Keep the light at 19.5. Keep it a good distance away. Keep that plant healthy. I defoliate it a little bit, just like everything else. Clean up the bottoms. But just don't stress it, because if it does go into flower, it is even harder to reverse those back to veg than it is your basic female plants. So I guess after all that rambling, the short answer is just treat it just like a veg plant, just like a long-term veg plant, just like you would a mother plant if you do keep mothers. Keep it in as big of a pot as you can. Give it 19.5. Keep it pest and problem-free. Feed it. And give it the appropriate size pot. Don't let that pot get too cold on the ground. Also, those cold pots will piss off that plant and make it go into flower. It'll think it's the end of the world. So when cannabis plants think that they're under stress, they think it's the end of the world, that's when they start to panic and they'll go into flower, or they will throw intersex traits, or they will show their intersex traits, or they will have a chemical reaction within them that will cause them to express intersex. Did I say that right, bro? I know who's listening to this, who's going to give me feedback here. But that's when it happens, is cannabis wants to survive. Cannabis's whole goal is to procreate and survive so that it can make seeds, so that it can grow the next season, so that it can repeat and repeat and repeat. That's why the male plants jump up above everybody so they can pollinate, get the pollen down on those ladies. The ladies can receive the pollen. That's why seeds are shaped like with a little point so they can land into the dirt and dig themselves in. It's all designed for reproduction. And if you don't let these plants reproduce on their own, if you don't let that happen, if you prevent that, they want to find a way. They're just horny teenagers, the boys and the girls. They're going to do everything they can. And just like James Bean calls it, the Jurassic Park theory, nature will find a way. So if you piss them off, if you frustrate them, that's when weird shit will happen. They'll find a way. They'll say, I think it's the end of the world. My roots are too cold. I should go into flower. Or I've been flowering for fucking 22 weeks and nobody's cut me down. Why don't I make a seed just to try to survive? Nobody's pollinated me yet. Why don't I start spitting out some seeds of my own and figure this out? Shit like that will happen if you put any plant in enough extreme environment. All right, my dude, Toka Mac, thank you for the great question. Thank you for getting me rambling. Thank you for extending the podcast a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, boys, girls, pimps, hoes, friends, foes, smokers, growers, clone cutters, pollen chuckers, all of you bad motherfuckers out there, I do want to thank you once again for listening to another episode of the podcast. Also, thank you for all of the great comments and great feedback. I've been getting a lot of support on YouTube lately, a lot of good comments down below. Please keep that going. Comment it up down below. Keep the algorithm going. Click like, click subscribe. All that needy shit that podcasters ask for, please do it. Speaking of being needy, check out the Patreon campaign at patreon.com. patreon.com/growfromyourheart. If you have any questions, corrections, comments, or concerns, you know I would love to hear from you. My email address is, of course, growfromyourheart@hotmail.com. Don't be shy. Send me that constructive criticism. Send me that hate mail. I can handle it. Let me know what you think. I look forward to opening the inbox. I think that's all I've got. If you need anything else, hit the website, iregenetics.com. There's a link to iRedirect. That's where you get the seeds. There's a link to the Discord server. Come hang out. There's a link to all sorts of great shit at iregenetics.com. Go check it out. All right, I think my voice is burning out just in time. It is time to wrap up the show. Come back in another week for fresh new content. Before we go, I do want to give a big shout out to my buddy Purple Skunk. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mom a hug for me.
Rasta Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
Time to take another dab. Grab your piece in and hug up on the bag. Rasta Jeff is in the lab. Sit back, hug your mom, and relax.
Hold up. Roots and wisdom start to show from the knowledge seeds we grow. Tune in now to hear the vibe, Rasta Jeff in our conscious tribe. He spreads the truth in every word. Every voice must now be heard. Healing like through cannabis. Grow from your heart, cure bliss. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your heart every day. Like a dog, educate and elevate. Join the journey, don't be late. Open minds to see the truth. In the soil lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through. In this garden, find the new. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your heart every day. Lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through. In this garden, find the new. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your heart.